You're listening to the Stallion Nation Podcast, your number one source for Salt Lake Stallions news, stats, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Join us, Champ, E-Rock, and P-Rex, as we move full steed ahead during the AAF season.
Stallions fans, welcome to another episode of Stallion Nation. I'm your host, Champ, and alongside me, as always, is P-Rex and E-Rock. Guys, welcome to the show.
It's so good to be back.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back.
Especially after a few days ago, we got to see Stallions make history with their first W and it being at home at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
That is true. If you saw a couple of
hooligans
or
some snobs.
Out there.
We're not snobs.
We're snobs.
The two people that had signs, pretty much. That was our group.
That's true. We had a sign that said, "Bring back reckless football." That was P-Rex's idea. We also had a, "Why can't the hot shots get a website? They can't string three W's together," which rang true.
Yeah.
That was my idea. Thanks, Google. And then, what was the other one? Carter Schult, of course.
Carter Schult,
King of the North.
King of the North.
And we told you guys that if you were listening to the podcast previously, we interviewed Carter Schult, and we said, if you get a sack in the game against the Hotshots, would you rock the baby in homage to his science living major.
It was his teacher.
Yes,
right?
His teacher, yeah. Dr. Bill.
Guys, and guess what happened?
He rocked that baby.
He rocked the baby. Yeah.
He rocked that baby good. And Carter Schult is killing it. He has a sack in every single game so far and one more.
Well, he's the current sack leader in the AAF.
With four sacks.
Speaking of, I found a page that put out a top 10 MVP ranking for the AAF. I didn't see Carter Schult on there. I'm like, excuse me.
Which you did.
Have you seen this guy play?
You did reach out to that guy, and he's like, well, I just couldn't do it. It's hard to give a defensive player MVP. Well, you obviously don't know what you're doing.
I saw a linebacker at number four, bro. What's going on?
That's right. Well, this podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Streamlit. Put your finger on the pulse of the indie film industry and support Utah artists by subscribing to Streamlit, the only gamified streaming platform dedicated entirely to brand new indie films. At Streamlit, you're the critic, and your votes help determine which films get seen most often and which artists get the most exposure. That's a fun little way. You're the critic of these indie films. That's a lot of fun. You visit streamlit.com, use the code STALLIONS, STALLIONS, for half off a monthly or yearly subscription. So thank you, Streamlit, for making this podcast possible and giving away those tickets, which it's still running. We have that promotion going until next week because the game will be next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but Saturday the 16th of March. So get excited. We got those tickets for you. Go share it with your friends and go subscribe. So, guys, we got some things to talk about. The game was awesome. Who do you think was some of the great performers of that game? Who stood out to you in the game against the Hotshots?
P-Rex, go ahead and say it. There's one person we've been kind of talking about.
We absolutely know who it was. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, we don't really have to talk about the defense because we all mutually agree that the defense looks awesome from our perspective.
Which our special guest coming up on the show is a defensive player for the Stallions, so get excited for that. It's coming. But anyway, P-Rex, continue.
Right. So the thing that we were worried about, and I think most Stallions fans were worried about, is the lack of continuity on offense. We just couldn't really get the ball rolling so much. Josh Woodrum coming back into the game, that kind of had it going. But I think with some more time, with him getting some more reps, you're going to see that improve. But the overall player that I think we're all thinking about is Pearsonell.
Absolutely.
What a baller.
I mean, that guy, he rocked Rice-Eccles Stadium. I mean, this guy, he had eight passes. He caught all of his catches for 90 yards to lead the Stallions. Pearsonell also hauled in a 25-yard score from Josh Woodrum to open up at a 9-0 lead. I mean, he really was
And
the
he also
guy.
Got the two-point conversion there at the end, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
But so it's just kind of crazy. He kind of came out of nowhere, didn't he?
He did.
Because we talked last week about how, you know, it was our tight ends that were kind of carrying the passing game. All of a sudden, he must have heard us because he's like, nah, guys.
And
here we go.
And you're right. I think it really helped that we got Josh Woodrum back, which Carter Schultz was right. Josh Woodrum did get the start, which is
you
which
heard
is
it pretty, here on,
you heard
Stallion,
it on
Nation.
Stallion Nation. That's
Carter
right.
Schultz gave us the inside look, told us that Josh is going
to
be starting.
Yeah, and actually, this is what Josh Woodrum had to say after the game. He said, "We came with the mindset that we can't go 0-3. We can't lose this game. We never want to lose a game, but we for sure didn't want to lose our first home game. Everyone came out with intensity. Coming back home gives you a sense of pride."
And there's actually a pretty good turnout. Like,
pretty good.
I've noticed there's a lot of, you know, toxic mentalities out there.
Yeah.
That, like, they're already dooming this league to fail already because you don't see a full stadium.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that's accurate. You know?
I agree.
We had over 10,000 people,
which was the lowest in AAF history. I mean, we only had 3 weeks of that history, but it is the lowest attendance record so far.
Well, I don't assume that the other stadiums are beating us by much.
Well, the largest attendance so far in the AAF has been over 29,000.
Really?
It has been.
Yeah. But some of those are
in Orlando.
Some of those are definitely bigger markets for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Orlando.
But one thing I can say for all of our listeners out there, if you haven't had a chance to go to these games yet,
go out.
It was a blast.
It was so fun.
So much fun.
I mean, we had the horse mascot in the stands.
That was fun.
Trotting around. I mean, and it was like a real football game. It felt a little bit above college. I really loved it. It was so fun.
I did. I really felt like, hey, this is my team. This is my professional team, and I plan on going to more games.
Absolutely.
You got to take advantage of this right now because – once this gets up and going, which I think it really does have the potential to keep going, right?
You're a part of history.
You're a part of history, but at the same time, you go to an NFL game, the lowest ticket you're probably looking at is somewhere around $200, right?
It's true.
And that's for a mediocre seat where you can't really see them play. You can go right now for $50 or less and get a front row seat. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And on top of that, all you got to do is bring one sign. And you will be on the big screen.
You'll get on the big screen
a lot.
I'm pretty sure I got on the big screen about 10 times.
Everybody saw Champ.
It was a lot of fun.
I was the one that fell later on, and the whole crowd laughed. It was a classic. Now, before we jump into our story that's kind of a little bit nuts, this is what Coach Erickson had to say. He said, "I know the fans were yelling and screaming, and it had an effect of what was going on. This town is a great football town."
Hey, that's us.
Yeah, that's us, right? Salt Lake City is a great football town. It deserves professional football. And so I love the fact that Coach Erickson recognizes Salt Lake is a place where professional football can be. And so the only way it sticks around, though, is if you support our Salt Lake Stallions. So go get a ticket. Go watch football. And if you're not going to watch it at the stadium, watch it on TV, because if there's ratings, there will be more AAF football, right?
And if you don't want to buy a ticket, just follow us, comment your friend on on our Instagram or Facebook page. That way you can possibly get a free ticket.
Yeah, go follow us, SL Stallions Podcast, SL Stallions Pod on Twitter. We are followed by some Stallions players. It's a lot of fun. We got that contest running for a few more weeks, so go check it out. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Go share us. We are presented by Streamlit. Thank you, Streamlit, for giving us that opportunity to give away some tickets. So here's the next story. Oh, P-Rex, he's got something.
Since we're talking about Instagram pages.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I got to say a special thank you.
There is a shout-out we got to give. That's right.
Special thank you to SL Stallions, SL.Stallions Instagram. If you haven't followed them, follow them.
Go follow them to get some
good
stuff.
They got some great stuff on their Instagram page, and they were so kind to actually help us out and put the word out that we're putting out this podcast. And in the same way that we need to support the AAF, we
need
also need support to get this going. So
that was beautiful.
Thank you, SL.Stallions, for sharing our post with our interview that we're going to have tonight.
Yes.
Go check them out.
Yes. Thank you, SL.Stallions. Now, the story before we jump into our interview with our Salt Lake Stallions defender and also our Streamlit Stallion of the Week. We got to talk about Johnny Manziel just for a gosh dang second.
Oh, yeah.
This guy got banned. He didn't just leave the CFL. He got banned from the CFL.
Not only did he get banned from the CFL, but in similar fashion of being excluded from the NFL, you have to wonder if it happened in the same manner.
Oh, man. It probably did. Now, the story, though, that we have to talk about is Johnny Manziel is already, well, rumor has it. Oh.
Well, actually, on his Twitter.
What's he saying on Twitter?
On his Twitter, he kind of talked a little bit about, he's like, he thanked the organization for giving him the opportunity. Sure. And he said, I'm going back to America to play football. Oh. More or less. Where else is he going to play? That's my question,
That's a
champ.
Good point.
So, AAF, maybe?
Now, E-Rock, so he is geographically supposed to go to the Commanders, technically. But if that doesn't work out, would you like to see...
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on then. No. but explain why. I mean, what's the cause of the no versus a yes?
Well, or were you going to say, like, would I like to see him on our team?
Would you like to see him as a Salt Lake Stallion?
No, for several reasons. So
okay.
One,
I'd like to hear just a couple.
Okay, so one.
I don't want to hear several, just a couple.
I'll give you 10.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so one, I think the Stallions already have something good going. You know, reason to just oust Woodrum just like that, you know?
Yeah.
And at this point in the season, you kind of do need that continuity with the players. And so if you just all of a sudden out of nowhere, hey, this guy over here, he's actually going to come in and start for us.
Right.
You know, I'd be kind of ticked off a little bit. And another reason, I just don't think he's all that good. He couldn't even do well in the Canadian Football League, and that's supposed to be a
But did he do okay? Like, I mean, I feel like he played okay.
He had, like, I was looking at it, he had, if I'm not mistaken, more interceptions than he did touchdowns.
No, he did, because he had like 7 in one of his openers that I actually watched, because I don't know what it is about Johnny Football, but we want to watch him succeed.
That's because he's failed so much that you just want to see him succeed, maybe to fail again.
So I think you're right. Like, you want to bring him in for a starter spot, right? He's definitely going to be a second stringer, a third stringer, which I don't think is a bad idea, because, like, he's still going to have an opportunity.
Sure.
Josh Woodrum has been dealing with injuries, as most QBs in the AAF have been dealing with injuries. And, I mean, just in these 3 weeks, we've seen all three of our QBs play, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think you could bring him in. There is potential there. I think you will see him in the AAF.
I mean, it would be an exciting event to see that guy play football in a professional setting in America. But, you know, there's a lot of noise that comes with Johnny Football.
There's a lot of baggage. Yeah. A lot
of baggage. And so I don't know if it's worth it, but AAF is a league of second chances, right?
Yeah. Well, champ, here from this
perspective. But how many chances has he really had, right?
From this perspective, you're introducing a new football league into the States, right?
Right.
And you need... Let's assume you're a marketing director, right?
Sure.
Let's say you know something about this. You want to capture everybody's attention. Do you think Johnny Manziel could capture that attention?
I was going to say, if they did bring him on, it's a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Because it will bring viewers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think you're right, P-Rex. If there's one thing that he's going to do, it's going to bring people to viewing it, right? Getting people excited.
At least for one game.
At least for a game, and then they'll realize that he's just... Anyway, no, he could do well. I don't know.
He could. I honestly think that, you know, since he had so many years not playing in the NFL, you could really tell that it took a toll on him, especially in the Canadian Football League. Like E-Rock said, like, he should have been playing better.
Right.
I honestly think that would be the level of play that we would expect or see from Colin Kaepernick if he were to come back and put a jersey on.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, well, only time will tell. I want to see him play.
I would like to see him too.
Okay, well, I forgot to mention at the start of the show, we unfortunately have moved locations. We no longer are in our soundproof studio. We are now in just one of our home's rooms. So if you hear a slight echo and the quality is a little down, we're working on finding a location that we can get soundproofed. But for the time being, we still wanted to give our Stallion Nation, you know what I'm saying?
We're still going to provide content.
That's
even
right.
If we got kicked out of our old joint.
That's right. We're going to keep moving forward. I mean, we can only make this stuff better as if you follow us. So go subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Share us. Give us a listen and make sure you tell your friends about us. So now to the exciting part of the podcast, we have a special guest coming to the show and we will introduce our Streamlit Stallion of the Week. So let's get to it.
Streamlit Stallion of the Week.
Stallion Nation, we told you we were going to bring you the exclusive content. We told you that we had a special guest coming to the show and we have a defensive player, a defensive end, an outside linebacker who currently plays for the Salt Lake Stallions, Luke Carrizola from UConn. His hometown is Langhorne, Pennsylvania. 6'3", 260 pounds. Man, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us on Stallion Nation.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, it's really great to have you. Now, we're going to ask you a series of questions, and we're kind of doing it a little different than what we did with your buddy Carter. We asked the fans what kind of questions they wanted to ask you, and so there's a couple that are quite interesting. The first one I want to ask you is, it's from Tristan Mig 11. He said, "Do you get emotional at weddings?" I want to kind of know what he's saying.
So Tristan was my brother had a wedding this past summer, and Tristan was one of the other groomsmen, and let's just say I brought all the emotions out. They all hit me at the altar, I guess.
Oh,
that's
dude,
gold.
That is awesome, man. Okay, and very similar. There's another question from Tyler Casio. and he says, Luke, one-on-one, do you think you can beat the bear?
Oh, no. first of all, there's no doubt that I can beat the bear.
Okay, so now I'll give you some preface here. He said that ask him this and tell him who asked the question, and I guarantee you he'll get a solid laugh out of him, and the answer is no chance.
Oh, well, he's just lying to you guys. It's easy to type lies.
That's great. Are they friends of yours?
Yeah, definitely.
That's guy. Awesome. That's awesome.
So can I hear more about the bear?
Yeah.
Actually, the bear's one of my brother's good friends. My brother played football at Rutgers, and he met him at Rutgers, and just ever since really my brother became really good friends with him, I actually became good friends with him as well. Just we do a lot of things together, play video games together, and but we always kind of always have like a competitive trash talking thing with each other, so we always just keep up to date on that even when I'm 1,000 miles away from him.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's sweet. Now getting into a little more serious mode, tell us a bit more about your story and from college to the AAF. We kind of want to hear your journey in your football career.
Yeah, so I think mine's pretty interesting. So after I got done playing at UConn, I had an opportunity. I did a rookie mini camp with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Washington Redskins, and played well, but unfortunately, they only keep so many guys from those. So I was actually at the time I was a substitute teacher after those for a little bit.
That's then, really cool.
Yeah. Then in the summer, I heard more about talk about the AAF and everything, and honestly, didn't have much money in my bank account, but I was like,
substitute teacher, man.
Yeah, so I was like, I got to give this thing a shot just because I love playing football and everything. So spent a good amount on a flight down to Houston and stayed with some family in Houston, and actually had a really good combine because they held one of their combines there. And then waiting for the summer and everything for a little bit. And then since it's summer, I'm not substitute teaching anymore. So I was currently mopping the floor in some industrial building I was helping.
Dang, man.
And I get a Facebook message from one of the people in operations from the Stallion saying, hey, there's a draft this weekend and, we're looking to take you. And then, you know, next thing on Saturday, I get a call saying I'm part of the Salt Lake team, and I've been pumped. And then continue substitute teaching and coaching football and staying in shape and everything. And then went to mini camp with the Stallions, and then fortunately got to, you know, keep moving on to training camp, and then made that team, and now, you know, got to play last week and everything. So it's been an interesting journey for sure.
Dang, dude, that is awesome. I mean, the fact that you went from mopping floors to freaking playing football for the Pro Football Stallions, man, that is sick. Now,
it's been crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I want to ask you this other question, then I'm going to pass it off to my co-host, P-Rex. Now, earlier this week, you were with some other Stallions players and helped make a wish happen for someone in Utah. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so we went to, I believe it's North Star Academy. It's an elementary school, and we met our man Garrett, and Garrett's been dealing with a lot growing up, and including, you know, growth deficiency and other things, and we actually got together with other athletes in Utah, so the rugby team, the Major League Rugby team, some Real Salt Lake players, hockey, the Grizzlies, the hockey team, some players from there, and we got to, you know, and some Utah softball girls, we got to present our man Garrett with a trip to Disney World, which was one of his Make-A-Wish wishes.
That's tight.
You know, and the whole, it was awesome. The whole school was there. It was, the place was jumping. It was the auditorium with all the teachers, the whole staff, and everyone. So it was definitely an awesome moment to be able to be part of that.
That's great, man. I mean, the fact that you're joining the community and making things happen for some kids that really need it, that's awesome. We love the fact that you're on the Stallions and you're doing what you're doing. Now I'm going to hand over the phone to P-Rex. He is going to ask you a couple of other questions that we had from our social media followers.
All right, Luke, P-Rex here.
What's up, P-Rex?
Doing good. Okay, so we have JasonW_37, and I've got an inkling that you might know him.
Yeah.
Okay. So he asked the question, do you remember when Neshami Skins fumbled at the goal line versus St. Joe's Prep in the Eastern State semifinal?
Yeah. That was my high school, my senior year, and we actually went really far in, I played in Pennsylvania, obviously, we went really far in the state, went to the state semifinal, and we played this team, and we were a public school, so we played in the state semifinals. We were playing against teams that recruit kids and everything, so we actually almost took down one of the top teams, and they ended up, you know, we ended up fumbling on the goal line, and they ran it back for a touchdown. It was heartbreaking.
Oh, that is,
that is too bad.
But, I guess those messages keep it to the muscle.
Man, that is a story. That is way cool. So I don't suppose, have you ever seen the movie The Replacements?
Yeah.
I'm really feeling like maybe they should make a sequel with you in it.
Oh, geez.
I'm telling you, man, you were mopping floors not long ago, and now you're playing pro football. I just think it's really cool.
I think the fans really love that aspect too. That's really cool.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, so Zach Drube. These are kind of hard to pronounce. Let's see. What has been your favorite thing about Utah so far?
Oh, you know, we actually just got here not too long ago, about a week ago. But, I mean, waking up and seeing the mountains is probably the coolest thing. Just from being from the East Coast, there's really nothing like that I've ever seen. So, I mean, being able to, you know, I got a great view of them and everything, and that's probably the coolest thing I've seen.
We do have some good mountains here.
Yeah, we do. And, well, Zach Drube, he actually, I've worked with him, and he has another good question. So P-Rex, go ahead and ask that next one.
All right. If you could play any other position besides your current position without any additional training, what would it be?
Without any training? I like to, in my head sometimes I pretend I'm a quarterback, but facing facts, it would probably be a tight end. I play a tight end in high school. I actually got offered to play tight end at Temple University.
Dude, represent. I was a tight end in high school. I didn't make it to college, unfortunately, but.
Absolutely. And my brother played tight end, and so, I think it would be definitely tight end.
I think we got the plot for our replacements two story here.
No, he's a tight end that then becomes a quarterback.
A defensive end slash linebacker.
Now I play two different linebacker positions and two different either side of the end. So I really just kind of fill in whatever's needed.
That's crazy. And you got here last week?
Yeah, we were in San Antonio for a while for training camp, and then we had two away games, so we were still in San Antonio, so we got to Salt Lake City a little later.
Man, that is just crazy. Yeah. That is just the fact that you guys are just meshing the way you are currently. The defense is stellar. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. P-Rex has one more question.
All right, Luke. So here's my own personal question. We had Carter on the show last week. Your roommate, if I'm not mistaken. Right, so he was on the show last week, and he kind of mentioned that you guys had some defensive struggles. I got to say, from the fans' perspective, it seems like the defense is our strong point. Like, we are making our presence known on the defense. I just was wondering if you could share some of those insights and your feelings on the introduction of a new defensive coordinator and what that means to your defense.
Yeah, so, I mean, at first I think just the first game, I mean, trying to put a product on the field after only a few weeks of training camp and cuts and everything, it's a hard thing to do at offense or defense. So, I mean, I think that first game, you know, we didn't really play to our best ability, but these past two games defensively, I really feel like we've stepped up and, you know, guys are understanding their roles more, their jobs more, and being able to play fast, because at the end of the day, I always think that the smarter player is the better player. So if you're able to play fast and violent, and that's what you want to do as a defense. And even our DC, we got a new defensive coordinator who's been in the system though and understands it. So being able to, I think it's gonna be a lot more smoother transition than I guess people on the outside would look in, because they just see a new DC and they think, oh, you know, coaching problems or anything like that. But it's really nothing like that, because we're still we understand what we're trying to get done. And I think everyone really has an understanding of their job, and you know, hopefully gonna be able to show that against the Apollos this week,
dude. That's a great point that you make. I mean, the fact that from a fan's perspective, absolutely, you're like, is there a coaching problem? But at the end of the day, you guys are just trying to figure things out, and you're trying to become a better football team. And if that's what a defensive coordinator can do for you, that's what you need to do. Now we're going to have E-Rock, our other host. He's going to ask you a couple of questions, and then we'll ask you a few lasting questions coming up for the game. And then we'll let you go.
All right, Luke. So one of our friends is a Chiefs fan, and I happen to also be a Chiefs fan, being from Kansas City. So he was just kind of curious about what the level of play is like, you know, being at that mini camp and then coming to the AAF and going through all those different mini camps and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. You know, it's actually pretty funny, because you go to, you know, those type of mini camps, and it honestly, it's pretty much the same amount of talent, and if not even more, I think more in this league, because I've been in those mini camps and you actually see a lot of familiar faces, and honestly, it's probably the better half of that group that you see at those mini camps are in the AAF, or at least we're in training camp, you know. And because we also have veterans that are coming back that, you know, maybe have gotten cut from NFL teams that come back here, and being able to learn from them and, you know, how they understand the game is just a huge thing, I think, for this league and, you know, for me personally.
That's really cool, man. There's one more question.
Okay, last one over here. Okay, first off, we didn't know you'd only been out here for a week with some of these questions. But I don't even know how to say his name. Michael Ratner was questioning, what's the best food you've had in Utah so far? Because we have crazy random stuff, you know?
Yeah, so I've been to, you know, other than just like traditional places like Olive Garden or anything like that, I've heard good things about Red Iguana, and I'm a big Mexican food fan, so I'm definitely going to try to get there. And
he knows what's up.
Yeah,
I've heard that place is pretty good.
Iggy's Sports Bar, Iggy's South Jordan, and they had good wings and everything. So that we went there with a couple buddies. That was a good time.
Yeah, that's great, man. And now Actually, you know what you should do? You should come down to Provo, meet with the hosts of Stallion Nation. There's a place called El Gallo, and it is okay. It is a great place.
Sure.
So you'll definitely want to come hit that up. But let me, we're going to ask you two more questions, okay? And then we're going to let you go to sleep because we know it's late. With the game coming up this weekend, what are you and the Stallions focusing on to prepare for that team that is 3-0?
Yeah, they have a lot of talent. I mean, you don't just go 3-0 by chance. They have a really good quarterback, makes good decisions. He's got a cannon of an arm. And they got a lot of good skill players, a lot of players that I got to play against, a lot of you know, UCF and USF players that play in the same conference that I did. And the running backs, De'Ernest Johnson, he's a really good player, played him for 3 years, and, you know, he can make people miss, and that's what they try to do. And they got a lot of athletes. Their offensive line communicates well. I know the offensive line coach, and I know that they're going to be coached up well. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us defensively, but I think this is a week where we can actually, you know, set our name even clearer in this league that we
absolutely
want to be one of the best defenses in this league.
Dude, and that is exactly what we are hoping for. So my final question before we send you off, is it going to be full steed ahead, and are you going to get that W this weekend?
You can't walk into a game without fingering it at the W.
Good call, man. Well, thanks so much for being on the show. Make sure you go subscribe to the podcast at Stallion Nation in iTunes and CastBox. And make sure, listeners, that you go follow Luke on Twitter and Instagram. It's Luke_Zola on Twitter, and then it's Luke Carazola on Instagram. But thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you go share it with your friends and family, and we're excited to see you play against the Apollos this weekend, man.
Awesome. Can't wait.
That was Luke Carazola, defensive end, outside linebacker. But thanks so much for joining us, Luke. That was really cool. So I'm glad that he was able to jump on. Now, we're going to end the show. We're going to talk about and preview the game ahead. We have another home game. It's our second home game. We are 1-2. E-Rock has some stats that he's going to throw our way. And we are going to then just kind of talk about what the key components of a W is going to look like for the Stallions, and then we'll end the show. So, E-Rock, do you have some stats ready for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So
okay, let's do it.
So here's the thing. I like to compare these two teams right now. The Apollos kind of to like a Kansas City Chiefs where they're scoring a ton of points. Right now they're averaging 32.7 points a game, which, guys, that's a lot.
Right.
And it's blowing out everybody else, which is averaging like in the upper teens,
sure,
to like lower 20s.
Yeah.
But they're going against a Stallions team, which I would kind of compare to like a Chicago Bears where they can
very
score points.
Heavy.
But you ain't scoring many points on them.
Dang straight.
So to me, that's going to be the most interesting thing is how is our defense going to stop their offense? Their offense has thrown for, I think it's over 700 yards passing.
That's crazy.
Which is more than a lot of teams have total offense.
Yeah.
I think the hot shots are also in like the 700, 600 range. They're also an upper tier offense. And
yeah,
you could easily see that on the field. I think we're going to see a similar, if not identical sort of game where you're going to see the secondary collapse a little bit. I mean, we kind of saw that firsthand, right?
We did.
I was kind of surprised because I was like, man, our secondary is like on lock. Like they're just SWAT nation, you know? They're swatting balls down left and right, which they did get it going towards the third and the fourth quarter. I did notice. In the first half, it was kind of rough. They were completing passes and they were just running the ball all over us. But second half, we got locked up. I would assume we see the same thing. The only thing I'm a little nervous about is the introduction of a new coordinator on the defensive end. I don't want to see things muddled.
Sure. Now, but what we heard from Luke is, you know, we're bringing in new people. They're figuring it out. They're looking at it. I'm sure they had a game plan prepared before they brought in a new coordinator. So that's the head coach job, right? Dennis Erickson, he's still going to make sure that there is a defensive plan to go into the game against the Orlando Apollos, which, again, they're 3-0. They're one of the best, if not the best, currently in the league because Birmingham is also 3-0. There's only two teams left that are 3-0. And we should have beat Birmingham.
We should have.
We should have absolutely beat Birmingham. And so I don't think Birmingham's as good as their record shows, but Orlando is playing good football. That quarterback is playing really well. And so I think what Luke said is one of the key components to a win is putting pressure on a quarterback. Make his life miserable, just like Carter Schultz said too. Making the quarterback's life miserable is their job, and if they do that, then they make mistakes, and that's how they can capitalize, making turnovers and making sure that they get the ball when they need it.
Which, Champ, I think if there's one strength that the Stallions have, it's their pass rush.
God bless it.
Let's hope that we'll see at least. Let's hope we see at least one more rock,
dude,
baby.
We should have asked Luke, man, like, what's his celebration?
Oh, his celebration. Just give him a call.
Yeah, like, hey, when you sack the QB, what are you doing?
Right? I'll text him real quick. You guys talk to him. But the Stallions' home game, it was planned to be on Bleacher Report Live earlier in the day, but it was flexed to prime time on NFL Network. So the game now starts at 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
Which, that would be a fun one.
It would be a great one to go to. And I believe the Stallion salesmen are putting out tickets that are either $6 or $9.
I saw that.
They just want people to get to the games. If we get more people to these games, people, we're going to have football longer than – it doesn't end in February.
And it's fun.
I'm going to a primetime game.
Dude, you better.
I'm going.
Good.
Guess who's coming with me?
Me. And E-Rock?
And E-Rock.
Oh, of course.
No, we definitely are going to go to the game
busy?
Again.
I mean,
question mark? But yeah, so this game this week, it's a big one. This is important. This shows, like Luke said, it shows who the Stallions truly can be and who they will be moving forward in the season.
Now, Champ, can we get bold predictions on how we think they're going to do?
I actually haven't watched. I haven't watched Apollo's play.
An Apollo game.
Have you?
I've only seen highlights, and they are good highlights.
Yeah,
they throw it.
They throw
a
it
lot.
Big, and if they
did
don't
you,
throw,
did you see the Commander's backwards pass?
Yeah, that was nuts. That guy. But it's. I think the Stallions get a W. I think they're on a hot streak right now. I know it's only one game.
They beat the Hot Shots, so
that's why. They beat the Hot Shots, who were a good, like, they were set up to win that game, right? They were a favorite. But I think the Stallions have the defense, and I think our offense is finally starting to mesh. And that's, I think, what's going to be a difference maker as well.
Yeah, this will definitely be their hardest game so far.
Oh, absolutely. This is the true test.
I would expect some fluctuating scores back and forth. You might see Apollo's up on the board for it first, because it seems like it takes us a little bit to get the ball rolling, you know.
Yeah.
But for sure, our defense is going to be stellar. If our secondary can just keep it up in the first half and keep that going throughout the whole thing, I think we got it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is interesting when you look at the Stallions' stats, our biggest game on offense is absolutely rushing. We have a great rush game. We have Brandon Oliver. We have Boignan.
We're afraid to say
again,
his name.
We should have asked.
We should have just – I don't know, man. I'm sorry to that guy who I can't pronounce
your
name.
It's so hard.
It's
we
so
heard
sad.
The announcer say it.
I know, and we should have listened. Maybe he said it wrong. I don't know. But yards per game average is 111 yards. Like, that's a great rushing game,
that's
right?
That's good.
That's absolutely.
And if we can continue to do that, it's only going to open our offense up for greater potential, run play action. It's going to give us an opportunity to win games. So establishing that run game, I'm so glad we're where we are at. And I love Brandon Oliver being that guy and Boignan.
Man, he's quick.
He's fast.
He is
They're both
quick. He's got some nice cuts.
I mean, who we haven't seen is Matt Asiata.
Right, he was injured.
Oh, he did get injured.
Yeah,
okay.
In the game that we witnessed. I'm not sure if he's going to be playing, but it seemed like a minor injury.
Sure,
so,
sure.
I guess we'll see.
Well, our leading passer is Josh Woodrum, obviously, because he did get the start. Joel, the running back, he is 154 rushing yards in. And then, of course, our boy, Pearsonell, getting 125 receiving yards. He's killing it. Kenny Bell, he's got that big afro. He's one of the top leaders, too. That's good. Luke does have a sack. So, way to go, Carrizola. You're doing it, man. But Carter Schultz is rocking this AAF with 4 sacks. So, anyway. Oh, and we got a shout-out. Greer Martini with the first interception, the first turnover for the Stallions. Props to that guy. You guys were getting hot dogs or something at the game.
In line.
But I was there, and I was, screaming.
Terrible. I was so mad.
We saw it on the TV, though.
Like, yeah. So we're sitting in, like, sub-freezing temperatures.
It wasn't that cold.
Okay, it was cold for me because I only brought a hoodie.
It was just freezing temperatures.
Well, he should have dressed warmer is what he should have done.
You know what, champ?
Ice the rice.
Anyway, hadn't eaten all morning, so I was like, it seems a little slow right now. It was halftime, and we're like, hey, let's go get some food. And then we see on the screen, interception.
Martini
and
just
then
taking it.
Turned it right into a touchdown.
They come down like, you guys missed it. It was there.
You know what was great is how the announcer was like, Martini.
Martini.
Shake it. Never stir.
Did he say that?
Or something like that.
Oh, classic. Well, thank you for listening to Stallion Nation Podcast. That's what we had for today. Again, thank you to Luke for coming in, taking 20 minutes of his time to tell us a little bit more about his journey. Flipping, mopping floors. Being a substitute teacher, and this guy's now playing professional football.
Awesome.
So sweet.
Great story.
And I really do think this is the type of stuff that makes Stallions fans so excited about the team. We have human beings that have worked so hard to be where they're at, and now they're part of a professional
team.
Well,
I mean, if you're a fan of the NFL, and you want to know what happens to the guys that just don't quite get there,
yeah,
this is just so cool because you get to hear their story. You get to watch them on the field every day as they, you know, fulfill their dreams.
Right.
I think it's way cool. And as a fan myself, I know I enjoy the game more having heard it.
Absolutely. And the fact that we've had Luke and Carter on the show, we've heard some great background stories and have been able to interview them. This is the stuff that you listen to Stallion Nation for. So go subscribe. Go follow us on Instagram and Facebook, SL Stallions Podcast, or Twitter, SL Stallions Pod. Make sure you share. Give us a listen. But let's end with a shout out. I am Champ.
E-Rock.
P-Rex.
And we will catch you next week on Stallion Nation. Peace out.